It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome to another edition of Axis of Easy number 377. I'm Len the Legend, joined once again by the tanned god, Praveen. How are you, Praveen? How's it going over there?
Good, good. I'm doing good. How are you?
Wonderful. Living the dream. It's getting cold over here. What's it like in your neck of the woods? Is it a little bit warmer, I'm assuming?
No, yeah. It got pretty cold today. It hit 67, so like 18 degrees.
Oh. Pretty cold, you jerk.
It did hit 2 degrees overnight though, like 2 degrees Celsius overnight.
Celsius,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a huge swing. Like this is like overnight, and then it goes up to like 18 during the day.
Wow, is that typical for that time of year?
Yeah.
Okay. For people who are unaware, he's somewhere in the United States. Don't want to say where, just in case you want to keep that private information. So,
yeah.
With that. Let's talk about last week's quote. There's actually an amendment we have to make, because the quote was, without passion, you don't have energy. Without energy, you don't have nothing. That was by somebody named Donald Trump. So that's pretty cool. And the one before, in fact, somebody did get it. I think we said nobody got it, but in fact, somebody named Ross did get it. And in fact, for winning that, he got the 1 month free of services by EasyDNS. So this week's quote, it's simple. It's guilt, the gift that keeps on giving. Who is that by? It's got to be by an author, like somebody that writes books, right? Like it sounds like.
So wait, did anybody get the Donald Trump quote?
Nobody got that one. Oh. Donald Trump, nobody got that. It's funny because, it's 45 and soon to be 47. Figured all his quotes would be readily available, but nobody got that one. But this one, guilt, the gift that keeps on giving. Remember, no checking, no doing searches on Wikipedia, Google, whatever. No asking any AI. If you have the answer, put it in the blog post and you are going to get, if you got the correct answer, 1 month free of services from EasyDNS. So, yeah.
I'm going to go with like some kind of self-help author.
Anyone in particular you want to bring up?
No, just like said it in like a sarcastic way. That's what I'm going to go with.
Well, let's dive right in. We've got 5 stories on the go this time around. I'm the VPN maximalist, according to my title. And it kind of touches, I guess, in the first story. It talks about ransomware. And ransomware attacks, they're becoming more common these days, and they're more sophisticated too at that. And the average cost of these keep going up and up for getting payment from these ransomwares. And it's not just simply because they're getting better at it. I'm also going to equate inflation as part of the whole thing. So as inflation is going up and things are costing more in general, so are ransomware payments as well. But either way, these hackers, as I mentioned, are using more sophisticated techniques to encrypt data and demand even higher ransoms. So, and they say that the average cost of these ransoms have been going up, and the cumulative amount that's going to be paid out in 2024 is estimated to get higher than $113 million. That's not even a payment to Ukraine these days in the grand scheme of things, not too much. The strategies to prevent ransomware attacks, boils down to organizations have to take some steps like implementing robust security measures, firewalls, antivirus software, and so forth, but also educating employees, but having them also exhibit good privacy practices. Also backing up that data on a regular basis really goes a long way. But also, finally, if indeed there is a ransomware attack that does take place, try to have a plan of attack beforehand, so that way you could easily execute it. But just to show you, good DNS security, it goes a long way. For me personally, I just want to say that using a VPN, I think, provides me some level of protection in terms of trying to track me and sending me information. I'm not going out there every time I get any sort of attachment. I'm not opening it up. I'm being careful. People need to understand. You just can't open up stuff. A lot of the thing, it falls on the individual itself, but even organizations too have some share of the blame here. So yeah, I'm not sure if you want to add anything to this one.
Yeah, I want to give a caveat on VPNs, because the problem with VPNs is that it doesn't make things automatically safer. You're just you're shifting who you're trusting from the ISP to the VPN. So if you're picking a VPN, you better pick a good one, because you're basically trusting that the VPN is not going to track you, but because all your traffic's going through them. So, you know, pick a good one, pick one that doesn't keep logs. I like Molvad, Vlad, I don't know how to pronounce it, but pick one that has demonstrated that they don't keep logs, which I think Molvad has. And the way that they demonstrate it is they get court ordered and they have nothing to give. So, yeah. I mean, obviously, use a VPN's good advice. It can be incomplete. The other thing about these ransomware attacks is I feel like I'm getting the amount of sympathy I have is lessening. Because, yeah, you're right, it's up to the individuals. But at this point, it's a well-known attack, and it's the way to get over it, or not, you know, to have it not affect you is known. And it's not easy, but it's doable, right? There's two things. Like you said, backups. So just have a good disaster recovery plan in place that if you do get hacked, you just, you know, just prepare ahead of time. So if that does happen, you get everything booted back up. And the other thing is just having like zero trust security in the organization, because Len, you get your computer hacked or whatever, doesn't mean that your entire company should go down. Because if it does, that means you had access to everything in your company, and you most likely don't need access to everything in your company. So the only things that you should go down, it should be like a need to know basis. The only things that should even be affected is what you yourself have access to. So, you know, I'm not saying it's easy, just flip a switch, but it's known. If you're an organization, you don't want to lose money. This is what you do. Like, you take security seriously, you know, or pay for it, I guess.
Segregate. That's a good way to do it. I agree. And another thing too is, this thing is obviously going to become more prevalent moving forward. All these honeypots, they're getting bigger and bigger. Like, we're looking at health records, for instance, or maybe financial records. And these companies, they're collecting this information. And we talk about this on a weekly basis here at Access of Easy. And it's always another one that gets hacked or attacked or cracked in one way or shape or form. So this information, it's just a treasure trove of it. And it can harm individuals. But you know what? It's out there, and it's going to get more prevalent moving forward. It's not like they're turning away data. They're collecting more and more of it moving forward. So this, unfortunately, is going to be a story that we're going to hear about quite a bit in 2025 and beyond.
Though I think ransomware hacks are usually a little different. They don't actually exfiltrate any of the data, right? So they just lock it away so you can't use it. But yeah, I mean, who I do feel bad for is people's data that is lost because of bad security practices. But ransomware, at least it's, you know, the company makes a mistake, the company pays for it. Usually there's not too many externalities, unless it's like a hospital. And then I've heard about that happening, like, you know. But again, like, if you're a hospital, you should take it even more seriously, because lives are at stake, and ultimately it's your responsibility.
Let's move on and talk about the Department of Justice, and they're really going after Google. Looks like there's a couple of lawsuits they filed, two separate antitrust lawsuits, and they're accusing that Google is abusing its dominant market position in search and online advertising, which they have it's hard to say they don't have a monopoly. Anybody that says otherwise, I think they got their head buried in the sand. And so Google search engine, right? And their search advertising business is second to none, which is too bad, because we need some competition. So the Department of Justice, they're alleging that Google has maintained a monopoly on the search and search advertising by engaging in anti-competitive practices, such as exclusive deals with device manufacturers and mobile carriers to make Google search the default search engine. And as a way to remedy this, the DOJ has not yet specified anything, but there's potential things such as maybe forcing Google to sell off his search business, or maybe restricting some of the behavior, such as limiting Google's ability to enter in its exclusive deals, or even one that's tried, tested, and true, fining Google. That's another one that they could do. But there's a second lawsuit that's been also bandied about. It's against Google's digital advertising technology business. And they say, again, they're monopolizing the digital advertising technology market by controlling key technologies used by publishers and advertisers. And again, similar to the first story, the remedies include forcing Google to sell off its advertising technology business, imposing some strict behaviors, or fining Google. But really, all this goes to show you is how big and powerful and how much of an impact Google has on our lives. When they want to push a particular narrative, they could do so extremely easy. This moat is really sticky. Although people don't want to be in it, they're just forced to be in it. Anytime you buy an Android phone or get an Android box or anything along those lines, you are stuck using the crappy Google stuff, which is too bad. We have to have some alternatives, but nothing seems to be coming to the forefront, which is too bad. I'm not trying to say this is a good thing by the DOJ. I want to see less of this type of intervention, but you know what? These guys, they got a monopoly here, and they're preventing people, other businesses, from doing business. This sucks, in my opinion.
I think they're talking about trying to get Google to sell Chrome.
That is one of the things that that's included in everything. So if they could force them to do that, that'd be amazing. But in one respect, but another, do you really want more government intervention too? Is that a good thing?
I don't see that happening, because I feel like Chrome is, like, at this point, so central to Google's business. Like, I forget what percentage, like, that's by far the most popular browser. And, like, I'm sure they just get tons of data from that they feed into everything else. So, yeah, I don't see Google doing that. Interesting thing about the story, if I think I read this right, is that it was started by the Trump DOJ and then continued by the Biden DOJ. And I guess it'll go back to a Trump DOJ, and assuming they'll keep going with it as well.
The Google browser, the Chrome browser, did you know that even their incognito used to collect data? And there was a lawsuit that went earlier this year because Google apparently agreed to scrub all the incognito browser data that they've collected. Like, that's just, it's the entry point from just getting so much data on people. They get what they're searching, what they're looking at. It's an incredible amount of information. They could just give an identity for anybody. And you're right. Selling that would be, I don't know if it would be possible.
And I think you were saying that one of the things they were considering was making it impossible for Google to get into these exclusivity contracts. Is that right?
Yeah, the exclusive deals.
Well, the interesting thing about that is if that goes through, Firefox goes away. Because I forget what, like 80% of their revenue, or a huge number of their revenue, comes from Google paying them to make Google the default search engine in Firefox. So these are the unintended consequences, because Mozilla is not perfect, but they are one of the few companies that are still actually, you know, working towards an open web. But it's just funny that they're mostly funded by Google.
Are you a Mozilla /Firefox user? I'm using Firefox right now.
No, I don't use Firefox. I use Safari on the Mac, yeah. I started it because it was the best. When I was on a Mac laptop, it was just the most, what's it called? Most energy efficient. So, like, my battery would last the longest. But I do use, I use Brave. So, basically, just Chrome for some development stuff. And whenever I have to use a Google product, like, Hangouts or something, or what's a Google Meet, I always just use Brave, because, like, that stuff only works in Chromium browsers, basically.
Do you get paid in those BAT tokens still? They still give those out?
Oh, I have no idea. I never set that stuff up.
That's a crap point out there.
Yeah, Safari is my main browser, and Brave I open up if I need to, if I have to.
Got it. Yeah. Well, let's talk about this dude named Evgeny Petitsin. Hopefully I pronounced his name correctly. He's a 42-year-old Russian national, and this dude was extradited from South Korea to United States, and he's facing a bunch of charges. And apparently he had an alleged role in administering the Phobos ransomware operation, and that was a ransomware as a service operation. I love ransomware as a service. Just the name of it sounds just wonderful. And it targeted at numerous individuals, including schools, hospitals, and government agencies. And through that, millions of dollars were extorted through ransomware payments. And it ties into the first story we talked about today. But with the charges that he has been levied against, and they are wire fraud, conspiracy to commit computer fraud and abuse, causing intentional damage to protected computers, and hacking-related extortion. And if sentenced to its maximum limit, this dude could face up to 120 years in prison. I'm assuming then they could just basically take out Ross and put this guy in and call it a day if they're going to release Ross in the not too distant future. But yeah, it just goes to show you that they mean business when it comes to this stuff. And if you're going out like after hospitals, governments, schools like that, even if you're an international person, if you're in some other country, you could get nabbed and get extradited and tried in the United States. Yeah. This guy is he's in for it, and he's done for.
He should have just stayed in Russia. Probably wouldn't have got extradited from there.
For sure. There's no way Putin would have let him go. In fact, he probably would have employed him somehow in terms of, you know, as a way to go after your enemies, you know.
Yeah. If you're gonna hit the United States, you better hope, like, why would you not stay in a non-extradition country?
That's a great point. Like, South Korea obviously has good relations with the U.S. Why go there? Did you set up shop? Like, it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's the internet, for God's sakes. Like, stay in Russia. I know.
I guess you only hear about the ones that get caught. So a lot of times they sound really stupid.
Like, yeah, true.
You know, they do like the dumbest things, and then like you think they're smart because they're doing all this stuff, and then they get caught like this.
There's a term, and I forget the term, where idiot savant. That's it. Or you know, he's incredibly bright with one thing, but in other things he's just a dumb.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Salt Typhoon, and this is a sophisticated Chinese state-sponsored hacking group, and they've been actively targeting telecom companies worldwide. This is another treasure trove of information, and the group has been linked to a series of cyber attacks that's compromised sensitive information and disrupt critical services. And the telecom companies included major players like AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and that basically encompasses all the big guys in the U.S. And they use some very advanced hacking techniques, such as exploiting vulnerabilities in network equipment and using malicious software to gain unauthorized access. Now, I wonder how they were able to exploit the vulnerabilities in this network equipment. Was this equipment provided by Chinese companies? Was the backdoor built in it already? I don't know. But either way, the primary goal of this was to steal sensitive information, which is always available and thrown about the cell phones, you know, looking at customer data, call records, internal communications, and it's pretty nasty stuff here. So yeah, I'm not sure if you want to add anything to it.
I think NVK was talking about this on one of his podcasts, and basically what he was saying, I don't know if other people saying this is theory, but basically the way they were able to hack it was by exploiting backdoors that was basically required, like NSA backdoors. They just went through them. That's what he was saying. I didn't look into it enough to, you know if that's just a theory or if it's proven, but I mean, it sounds plausible. that's why backdoors are bad, right? Because like you're not the only one that's gonna like forget about like even if you're a government bootlicker that wants NSA to have access to all these backdoors or whatever, you should still be against them because there's no guarantee saying that the NSA is gonna be the only one that uses them.
Right. If it exists. If there's a backdoor that exists, it may not just be limited to one particular entity that has access.
It's not going to be, right? By definition, like if there's a backdoor, like there's no guaranteeing that like NSA is going to be the only one to use it.
Yeah. So really, if they have to do something, maybe try to find alternate vendors that could provide them the equipment. Maybe look domestically if possible. But even then, if there is any government contracts, you never know. They might be in the government's pocket and create some sort of backdoor for them.
Yeah.
Who the heck knows?
I think the problem now is like there's some things that there's like no domestic alternatives. I think it was networking switches was Norton that used to do it a bunch, and then like Huawei took over, and like now they're like basically the only player in town. I think it was a European company that was doing it, but you know, Huawei came in, undercut them, and now they're the only players in town. So there was a story a while ago in Canada with that had something to do with Huawei networking switches. You know, that when they were arrested their VP,
I was just going to talk about that. Yeah, it was the CFO, I forget who she was, in BC, and they did it at the request of the United States. They were the ones that asked us to do it. Obviously, when you do that, you're going to ruffle the feathers of the people involved in that company. And if they haven't already put backdoors, you can bet backdoors are going to be installed after that. So it's going to be,
I mean, it's crazy the amount of stuff we rely on China for, when they're like basically an enemy, and like we rely on them for the back, like internet backbone type of stuff. Like, how is there not a domestic like network switch provider? You know, that's a big like bottom of the layer, like bottom of the stack, you know, base thing. And then we're using these Chinese companies. It's crazy.
5G comes to mind. From what I understand, everything I read about it, it's all coming from over there. The equipment is being provided. It's a rabbit hole I don't want to go down. Why do we even need 5G? You know what I mean? Like, everything is fast enough as it is. I was fine at 3G, to be perfectly honest. Couldn't we just deal a little bit slower? Domestic companies, try tested and true, reliable, rather than keep going with this, I don't want to say bleeding edge, but at least cutting edge. Yeah. Stay away from that, in my opinion.
And there's no Chinese companies that are private. You know, every Chinese company has the Chinese government at least a finger in it. You know, so it's crazy. Like, why do we I don't know. It's like, and you think we would have learned our lesson during COVID when like we couldn't get it, like we couldn't get it, like medical supplies. But like, I mean, this isn't medical supplies, but it's up there.
Toilet paper, remember that one? And even that's. It's manufactured domestically.
Yeah, that was a weird like.
That was a
positive feedback loop there. Like brutal. I went and bought toilet paper, right? Because, like, I was going to need it. I was going to need it in the future, but because everybody was buying it, I was it's like feedback loop of like shit. Like I wasn't worried about toilet paper until everybody started buying it.
I was gonna use my old school books. I haven't got to that point. let's move on and talk about WhatsApp. And for people out there that are using WhatsApp, look, this is a obviously communication, but and it's owned by Meta. It's not secure, but they have filed a lawsuit against the Israeli spyware company, the NSO Group, and they're accusing NSO of using its platform to target and hack phones of approximately 1,400 individuals, including human rights activists, journalists, and government officials. And I hope government officials aren't sending any sensitive information using WhatsApp. Use whatever sensitive, proper protocol. WhatsApp ain't it, in my opinion. But NSO Group, they develop and they sell sophisticated spyware that could be used to remotely access and monitor devices, and the company claims to only sell this products to government agencies and legitimate law enforcement purposes. However, WhatsApp alleges that the NSO spyware was used to target individuals with no proper legal authorization. So this basically shows that there's a lot of misuse of power, especially when it comes to surveillance that's going on by these authoritarian governments. And if they don't like a particular individual or a group of people, they could use it against them. And once you have information on them, what they're doing, what you're talking about, that could spread and it could get into their web of information and the people they're dealing with. And it could be really problematic. So I want to just highlight, if you're going to use anything, use something that maybe Signal, Keat, Sessions. Can't say enough bad about WhatsApp.
Simplex is good too.
Simplex, yeah, that's another good one. Thank you.
Yeah. The thing about Israeli tech companies is kind of like Chinese companies, and where if you're an Israeli tech company, you're probably you have Mossad finger in you. So.
I don't like it in there, to be honest. Now the thing is, you hear about this, and even like it seems like whatever phone you have, you could be subjected to something as long as you're up against somebody that has the ability to buy this kind of software and just implement it. There's nothing you could do in reality except make sure you're not sending any sensitive information, or if you are going to send it, try to limit it with better programs. Even then, it's nothing.
Yeah,
perfect,
that's the thing. So. Yeah, you can't get perfect on a phone, because you have to assume that the phones themselves are pwned, like, you know, the NSA, is Mossad, they all have backdoors into that. So you could have the most secure communication app, but, you know, the messages still show up on your screen and they just need to take it from there, basically, right?
Even hardware. Like, I got this Acer laptop.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows if there was a zero day that has yet to have been discovered for the hardware, and they can't patch it because it's hardware. In order to patch, you have to physically remove the chip and replace it with something that's been patched. But so like,
yeah, and there's so many chips in a, you know, it used to be there was like the CPU and maybe the GPU and maybe a sound card, right? But now there's so many systems on a chip, like, and a lot of them are Chinese. So you're honestly, if you want to do something really private, send a pigeon or meet in person.
Encoded pigeon. Praveen, buddy, this is it. I mean, I appreciate you. We reached the end of these stories. So I just want to thank you for coming out and subbing in for Joey again for this week, because obviously he's dealing with the fatherhood duties. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just thanks so much for doing this. It's been a pleasure doing this alongside you.
No problem. It's been fun.
Awesome, man. So with that, take care. We'll be back again next week. And next week, Praveen will be subbing out and Mark will be subbing in. With that, take care.